Again, I'm honored to be here to bring you God's Word. And as a minister of God's Word, I've learned from time to time that we all need to be reminded that this world is not our home, and our final home is in heaven. Therefore, we can look forward to unite with our loved ones and our dear friends who have gone before us in Christ, whom we have missed dearly. This fact itself provides a great comfort, especially to those who have lost their loved ones or dear friends recently. On that note, some of you may have read or watched the Left Behind series of books or videotapes or DVD. The Left Behind series revolve around the storyline that non-Christians are left behind when Christ secretly and suddenly removes true believers from earth. Christians who are driving cars, piloting planes, and who are going about their everyday activities abruptly disappear. And those left behind are baffled by their mysterious disappearance, called the rapture. For those who got caught up, or as Paul described in the first epistles of Thessalonians, as I've just read, something wonderful awaits them. The Bible teaches us that they will be reunited with the Lord and with their loved ones and their dear friends in heaven. And when they do, it will be a big family reunion that goes on and on forever. So today we'll be looking at this wonderful event, the Great Reunion. First of all, the Bible tells us that we will be reunited. We will be reunited with our loved ones when Christ returns. Now, if you die before Christ returns, you will have a mini family reunion in a place called paradise that Christ mentioned before he died. He mentioned that to the thief on the cross who believed in him. But the big family reunion occurs when we all get together in heaven when Christ comes back for us. And the Bible gives us a very specific timeline. The dead in Christ will rise first, Paul says, and then who are still alive will be caught up with them. Firstly, the dead in Christ will rise first. Now look with me at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. It says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God." And notice what it says. It says, "The dead in Christ shall rise first." Now let me briefly mention the context of this passage. The Thessalonians were concerned about those believers who had already died in Christ. They think, would they miss out on the return of Christ? And Paul's answer to them is, no, they would not. Not only that they will not miss out, they are going to get a front row seat, so-called. How come? Look at me in verse 14. It says, "For if we believe that Christ died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Christ Jesus will God bring with him." Those who have died in Christ or slept in Christ, as Paul says here, are already with Christ or with him, such as the thief that I mentioned earlier who believed in him. Every believer who has died is present with Christ Jesus right now in paradise. And they will be brought with Christ one day. The question is, in what manner will these people be brought with Christ? Will they have a body? Paul gives us the answer in verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. They will be raised first means that they will get their resurrected bodies before those who are still alive. That is the manner that they will return. So those who have died in Christ will not miss out on Christ's return because they will be raised first. Then those who are still alive will be caught up with them. Look with me in verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Those who are alive remain, presumably will be us if Jesus returns when we are still alive, right? These people will be us. They shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. After the dead in Christ are raised, those who are still alive will be caught up together with them and meet the Lord in the air. Now the word together in the verse means that we will finally be together with those whom we loved, our loved ones, our dear friends in Christ who died before us. What a wonderful promise and hope that is. And those who are alive and remain will receive their new bodies too. This is what will happen. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be," what? "We shall be changed." So no one will miss out when rapture occurs. Both the dead in Christ will join together at the return of Christ, and so as those who are still alive, their body will change and they will have a big reunion in heaven. So that reunion begins in the air. But we will not only be reunited with our loved ones, with our dear friends who die in the Lord, we shall also join with the whole family of God. Now think about it, God's family, which is bigger than you think. It is not just a family or my family. It is everyone who die in the Lord. Now, there will be all sorts of beings or people in heaven that we will meet. Not only the people you knew or know, but people you never met in your life. That includes Old Testament saints, New Testament believers, and famous people you read about in church history. Now, people often ask, if we will know and recognize each other in heaven. The answer is resounding yes, we will certainly know each other in heaven. In fact, the Bible tells us at least three things to assure us that we will know and recognize each other in heaven. Number one, there is the physical resurrection of the body. Therefore, we will know each other in heaven. We will know and recognize each other because our bodies will be resurrected. So it is not like that you will be some sort of a translucent spirit being without a body or without any recognizable physical features. No, you will have a body and a face. Thank God. Paul wrote in Philippians that when Christ returns, he shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Amen. We read in the gospel that certain times Jesus did keep his identity hidden from his disciples after the resurrections for some reasons. But overall, the disciples recognized Jesus in his new body, his resurrected body. And so we will recognize each other too. That's number one. We will have a new body. Therefore, we will able to recognized each other in heaven. Number two, the Bible also tells us that our names are written in heaven. Jesus told his disciples in the Gospel of Luke 10, verse 20, "Notwithstanding, if this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." That sounds good, isn't it? But what does that even mean? Our names are written in heaven. I believe that means our personal identity on earth will continue in heaven. Since our names identify who we are, I believe we will have our bodies and we will also have our names. Therefore, we will know and recognize each other in heaven because we will have our name. That's number two. Number three, we will be able to recognize Old Testament saints as well. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 8, verse 11, "Many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the three patriarchs in the Old Testament, in the kingdom of heaven." It's not just three of them, many will be there and sitting down with the three patriarchs. Now here we have the examples of these three people, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in the kingdom of heaven. They will be there physically, with a body, in their resurrected form. Jesus said, "We will know and recognize who is who and join with them in the feast." How wonderful is that? Some of you perhaps like to ask Adam and Eve some questions. Perhaps like, why did you eat that forbidden fruit? All right, you get to ask them some of the questions. And others may love to speak with Noah, Enoch, Job, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, David, and Jonathan, and Elijah, and others. And you can, because you will be able to recognize them. We also have an intriguing example of what took place on the Mount of Transfiguration. And many of you remember that passage. And what happened there in Matthew chapter 17 about the passage? It says, "Behold, there appear unto them Moses and Elias talking with him," our Lord Jesus. And the disciples noticed that. And one of the disciples who usually put his foot in his mouth is Peter. And he said, "How good is that we pitch a tent here, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elias, so that we can have a Bible conference here." All right, and of course Jesus corrected him, and God the Father corrected him. And we know the story. But have you ever wondered how did the disciples knew that they were Moses and Elias? Have the disciples ever seen Moses and Elias? No, definitely not. Yet they were able to recognize them immediately. That means we too will know and recognize people in heaven whom we have never met, so we can fellowship with them in heaven. So, not only that we will know and recognize each other in heaven, we will also recognize every single Old Testament believers we read about whom we have never met. How wonderful that is. Again, the greatest comfort that comes from knowing Christ is knowing that you will see your loved ones and your dear friends once again. We have talked about that just now. But I would like to answer a few questions that you might have in mind. One commonly asked question is this: will husband and wives still be married to their spouse in heaven? And you probably know the answer. The answer is no. We will not still be married in heaven. Some of you may be deeply disappointed, but others may find it a relief. But Jesus says, in the resurrections, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as angels of God in heaven. For those of you who find it sad, and do not fret, we will still recognize each other, your spouse, And we will still know that we were married. Okay? No longer married in heaven, but you were married. You will still be able to recognize, hey, you were my husband, and you were my wife. The Bible teaches us that marriage is a temporary part of this life, pointing to a much greater marriage in heaven that we call the great reunion between the church and Christ Jesus. I like what Robert Peterson says about this. He says, quote, "The New Testament teaches us that the marriage covenant dissolves upon death, but this does not mean our relationship with our spouse will be diminished. Rather, because of the absence of sin, we will know our spouse, friends, and loved ones better than we do now." Okay? Wow, I like that. How good it is to be able to get to know our husband or our wife even better than now in heaven. You like that? Some of you goes, you know, well, I don't want to know them more in heaven. But the second commonly asked question is, would children who died before they were old enough to receive Christ be in heaven? I'm inclined to say yes. And this is because when King David lost his child that he had with Bathsheba, he was confident that he would see his son again. Now we read in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23, "But now he is dead, wherefore should I fast?" Now he was fasting. He was not eating. He was lamenting, mourning for his son. And he said, "Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return unto me." Where is David going after he dies? Not hell, but heaven. So he said, "I will go to him," means the child is in heaven. People who wonder what age, this is another question people often ask, you know, which I do not have a definite answer. People all wonder, you know, what age children would be in heaven, right? In fact, my children asked me the same question before. My frank answer is, I don't know. Perhaps they will begin as children. I said, perhaps. Begin as children and they get the opportunity to grow up in heaven that they never got in this life. Right? That's my guess. Or perhaps their new resurrection body will already be those of a full grown adult. So if they die as a child, they become a grown up in heaven. Right? And fully mature in body and mind. However, one verse in the Bible about children does intrigue me very much. And that is in Zechariah chapter 8, verse 5. When God speaks about a new Jerusalem back in Zechariah, it says, "The streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof." Now, taking this verse literally, looks like there will be God's people in heaven who will be children's age. And so, this is the great comfort from the scripture. When we join with the whole family of God, we will be reunited with our family members, our dear friends and our loved ones who die in Christ Jesus. And when we join with the whole family of God, we will be even with our Lord, Jesus Christ, and see Him face to face. And then, with final note, this section, we will live in perfect harmony. Now, this is important to remember because some people do not always look forward to family reunions in this life. However, family reunion in heaven will never be stressful, but will be perfect. In fact, we will all live in perfect harmony in heaven because it's a normal sin. Hebrews 12 says about heaven, ye are come unto the city of the living God, to the spirits of just men made perfect. Hebrews 12, verse 22-23. I like the word perfect there, because we are imperfect human beings. But in heaven, we will all be perfect. No more petty fights, No more little quarrels here and there. No more communication breakdowns. No more misunderstandings, because everyone will be perfect in heaven. I like that. I think we can all agree with Richard Baxter when he writes, "I know that Christ is all in all, that it is the presence of God that makes heaven to be heaven. But yet, it much strengthens the thoughts of that place to me," he says, "to remember that there are such a multitude of my most dear and precious friends in Christ." We have looked at 2 points so far this morning. We will be reunited when Christ returns. Number one. Number two, we will join with the whole family of God. But as wonderful as those truths are, we must never forget point number three, which is, I mentioned earlier, Christ will still be our main attraction in heaven. Amen? Christ will be still our main attraction in heaven. We have spent a lot of time in 1 Thessalonians today because the chapter was written specially to comfort those who have lost their loved ones or their friends in Christ. But as you may have noticed, even 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the main focus is our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul says in 17 of chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians that we will go to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Yes, we will be with each other in heaven, and that's wonderful. And that is true. But the main hope of the believer is not that we will be each other only, but we will finally be with our Lord Jesus Christ and to behold his beautiful and glorious face. Dr. D.A. Carson, a professor in the seminary, writes about this desire, or his own desire, to see his loved ones. Again, I quote, "Indeed, it's right that I should think like that and contemplate renewed relationships with mom and dad," he says, "and with other loved ones who have gone into glory ahead of me." But he says, "But such expectation is wrong if it is at the expense of longing for God." The fact that we will be reunited with our loved ones in Christ is indeed a beautiful and comforting truth in the Scriptures. But in our good and right desire to see our loved ones once more, we must never lose sight of Christ, who has redeemed us with his own blood. Even though we look forward to being reunited with our loved ones in heaven, Christ will and should still be our main attraction in heaven. As Fanny Crosby wrote in one of his many beautiful hymns, "Oh, the dear ones in glory, how they beckon me to come. In our parting at the river I recall, to the sweet vials of Eden, they will sing my welcome home. But I long to meet my Savior first of all, through the gates to the city in a robe of spotless white. He will lead me where no tears will ever fall. In the glad songs of ages I shall mingle with delight. But I long to meet my Savior first of all." The Bible teaches us that we will be reunited with our loved ones in Christ. And therefore, as believers, we will have hope. Since there will be a great reunion in heaven, let me share with you three brief applications in closing, and I'm done. First of all, reconcile with others now. Don't wait for heaven. Yes, we will have all finally be reconciled in heaven. And there will be no more quarrels because everyone will be perfect. But don't wait for heaven to be reconciled. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24, "If thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remembers that thy brother hath aught sin against thee, leave there thy gift for the altar and go thy way." Why? Because first reconcile to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. If we are going to live with God's people, God's family in heaven, we should reconcile our relationship now. And don't wait for heaven. Reconcile with our brothers and sisters in Christ, for they are all family members. Number two, grieve, but not like those who have no hope. When we lose our loved ones, we are sad, but don't lose hope. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, "Brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Martin Luther lost two daughters, the great reformer, an 8-month-old daughter named Elizabeth, and 13-year-old daughter named Magdalena. When Luther called his little Lena, Luther told his friends at her death, he says, I quote, "I'm joyful in spirit, but sad according to the flesh. It is strange to know that she is surely at peace and that she is well off there, very well off, we know, yet to grieve so much," unquote. And so we grieve because we miss them, and there's nothing wrong with that. But grieve not like those who have no hope, my friends and my dear brothers and sisters in Christ. As believers, we have the wonderful hope of reunion with our Lord Jesus Christ and with our loved ones and our friends in heavens. And that's number two. Now finally, pray for your unsaved loved ones to come to Christ. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, "We believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ is coming back. And we do not know when. It could be today after the service. It could be next week. It could be next month. But I guess it's not far. And when he does, we will be reunited with our loved ones and with our dear friends who have died in Christ. We and they will never die and be separated once and evermore. And dear friends, and I'm speaking to those who have not yet received Christ as their Lord and personal Savior, Christ is coming back. So today, if you die in your sin, there's no second chance, my friends. Only those who die in Christ will come with him. Those who never come to know Christ in this life will not take part in this beautiful family reunion in heaven. So trust and believe in the Lord today and call upon his name. Repent and confess your sins to him and be saved today. If you do so, you too may also have the same hope of resurrection and have heaven as your eternal home. Let us pray.